this is Genoa.
And this is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Like, so good syncing this up again. Yes. Hey, everyone. How's it going? Happy Pride Week, everyone. Oh, for month. Pride month. Yes month.
June in the United States is all about Pride. And so the first 2 months of June, we were sticking with the family friendly, keeping you entertained during quarantine. So the last half of June, we are going to do some LGBTQ movies, starting off with the 2019 Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Yes. French film.
It's directed by Celine Sciamma. Mm-hmm. And it stars Nomi Marlant, Adele Hynel, and a couple other people.
Gotcha. Oh, and I have to Valera Golino. Yeah. I mean, I had the biggest... Okay, people who don't know her, watch this. She was in a few movies in like late 80s, stuff like that. But she really came on the scene with the Charlie Sheen pilot spoof Hot Shots. She was the love interest. Yeah, and I was reading up on her. She's like half Italian, half Greek. I mean, she is just stunning.
She's in her 50s or 60s, and she's still absolutely beautiful. She plays the mom in the movie.
Yeah, when I seen her, I'm like, wait a minute, she looks familiar. And then I look like, oh, it's her. Yeah, I have the biggest crush on her. Like, she wasn't in enough movies. When you seen her in films, you're like, wow. Like that, she is just gorgeous. Yeah. So what is this film about?
So this movie takes place in 18th century France. A young painter, Marianne, is commissioned to do the wedding portrait of Heloise without her knowing. Therefore, Marianne must observe her model by day. She's hired to pretend that she is her companion to go on walks. And by night, she has to paint Eloise's portrait in secret. Mm-hmm. And this movie is all about their growing relationship between these two women.
Yeah. And the whole theme of, you know, the, you know, society not accepting, you know, the thought of being with the person you want to be with. So, you know, unfortunately, a lot of, you know, people had to live lives, you know, have to be with people that they didn't want to be with because they longed for something else that they truly loved, you know, far as a person, you know, but they couldn't because society was like, no, you're supposed to be married to a man and, you know, so have a portrait, you know, of you before you get married to a man and things like that.
Right. And it's not really up to the woman to decide who she's marrying. It's up to the family and the man to accept her based on how the portrait is done. So, yeah, this movie doesn't just hit on the lesbian type story. It does speak to the freedom or lack of freedom that women have. That they really are just a piece of property for the family. And this story takes place basically the week or the couple weeks before Eloise loses her freedom. And the relationship that builds between the women, because Marianne, who's the painter, has figured out how to have freedom in her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell, like, you know, she rocks her pipe, you know, she, you know, whatever, she's chilling, she smokes her pipe, you know, she drinks her wine, you know, she's this, you know, free artistic spirit, you know, that drops in on this kind of establishment where like pieces are in place to follow the guidelines of how things supposed to be, you know. Yeah.
So the movie starts out with where we meet Marianne, and she's in a boat on the way to this island or coast where where the family lives, and they don't really say exactly where it is. We just know it's France. Mm-hmm. And this is where we start to see that she's not like normal 18th century women, in that her one of her packages, her suitcase, luggage, mm-hmm. falls over in the water, and all the men on the rowboat just sort of look at it like, well, that sucks. And she takes off her coat and dives in the water to go save it. So she's already a little bit more progressive than the men because she knows how to swim.
Right. Yeah, she takes action.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when she gets to the beach, rather than the men carrying her luggage up to the house, she actually carries it all the way herself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, strong and independent is that we are already seeing her character right there.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is, I mean, as far as narrative and establishing characters, things like that, on that instance, what you were saying is a good example of showing character through action and not dialogue. It's like just the things you were saying, like we were witnessing her like react to things and do things to define her character, you know. So just, and she didn't say, like, pretty much through all those actions you were explaining, she's, I don't think she uttered one piece of dialogue. We just seen her actions doing stuff, you know.
Yeah, the first true dialogue we see between two characters is when Marianne meets the maid of the house.
Sophie.
And the maid's name is Sophie. Mm-hmm. So when Marianne meets Sophie, she asks about the mistress of the house, is Eloise, and how much does she know about her? And this is where we learn that Eloise wasn't originally supposed to be marrying this man. Her older sister was, but she committed suicide. And Eloise was actually at a convent on her way to becoming a nun, because in the 18th century, that was one way where women could actually have some freedom, mm-hmm. Was to join a nunnery.
Right. Yeah. Not a lot of choices. yeah. But then once Marianne get this, just slowly investigating without actually seeing the subject yet, you know, then we cut to a scene where she's talking with her mother. So pretty much we see the interaction with the help and the mother before we even see the subject that she's, you know, brought out there to try to paint or capture. So, which I thought was pretty interesting, you know, because it's like it builds up the anticipation actually seeing this woman, because we hearing about the story, we hearing about the sister, we hearing about the dynamics between the mother and the daughter. And yeah, so I was like, okay, well, let's see her. Who is this mysterious lady that we're about to, you know, follow?
Right. And during that conversation, we also hear from the mom that they had someone else there to paint her portrait, but she refused to sit for it. So it was nearly impossible. And this was really the last opportunity to find someone that could do the portrait.
Right. Yeah. So with all of that information in place, there's a shot where I think the mother says that, what's her name? Eloise. So Eloise, there's like, okay, she can go outside kind of thing, right? Almost like she's on suicide watch. The dialogue came off that way. It's like they was having a close eye on her. So like she don't.
Well, yeah, the older sister committed suicide by jumping off a cliff. So they hadn't been letting Eloise outside because they were worried that she might do the same thing. And so Marianne is supposed to be the companion to make sure she doesn't jump off a cliff.
Right. Yeah. So she's like the suicide watch person.
Yeah. So Something that we haven't mentioned about this movie, besides there not being a whole lot of dialogue, every single scene is sort of set up like its own individual painting. So the cinematography is beautiful.
Yeah.
But there's actually no music in the entire movie until really the last scene. Mm-hmm. And the reason why the director did that was that she wanted us to be more focused on the rhythm between the characters and the movements of the bodies and the camera versus getting caught up in the music that might direct how you're supposed to be feeling based on how the characters look at each other.
Yeah, and they did an awesome job, dude, because I definitely recognized that when I was watching the movie. And I noticed that. Oh, because the only time you really kind of hear, you know, music here and there is if there's a scene where, like, Marianne got on the piano, which is like, was playing some keys or playing some melodies for Eloise, which made it more intimate because the music we hear is like a genuine musical connection between her, you know, and Eloise, which pays off at the end, the last shot.
So as Marianne and Eloise start to get to know each other, they do have a couple intimate scenes. So Marianne learns that Eloise is supposed to be going to Milan, and the mother asks her to convince her that Milan is the place to be. And so they have a conversation about music and art, and that in Milan, Eloise will be able to hear some amazing music. And Eloise asks Marianne, what music do you really like? And so she plays this one specific opera for her and talks about how the different notes feel like different things to her. So it's like the grasshoppers chirping or the spiders crawling. So that was one of the places that they play music. Another scene that you have music is they go to a bonfire and all the townspeople are singing some sort of chant around the bonfire.
Yeah. And throughout this whole movie, you only see, maybe three men? Because there's the two guys on the boat, right?
Yeah.
And then at the end, well, close to the end, like the husband that was in the kitchen, was that the fiance? Yeah.
No, that's not the fiance. I think it's actually the Sophia. It's the maid's beau that knocks her up.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. So pretty much like throughout this whole story, and I noticed that, like, oh, okay. So it's only really like three dudes in this movie. So it's definitely a women driven story where like 98% of the film like is, you know, it's all
that's just the ladies. Yeah. And the film doesn't, although the story is ultimately about a woman being married off to a man, most of the dialogue is not about men, which you do see in a lot of movies. The dialogue is about these two women getting to know each other. So talking about music, Marianne or Eloise asks Marianne, why aren't you getting married, or do you plan on getting married? And her answer is no, because she is taking over her father's business of becoming a painter. And that is how she's going to support herself. She doesn't need to rely on a man. And so that then leads them into the conversation about freedom. And Eloise is very worried that she is not going to have any freedom once she gets married. And that because Milan is such a like strange world to her, that she feels that she'll be locked into some sort of horrible marriage and not know what life is really like.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, all those running themes between those two, with, like you were saying, like no music, kept it very intimate. You locked in on the conversations and kind of like the flirtations back and forth between those two throughout. That's like is what one of the best scenes in the film to me was when, you know, Miriam is painting her, is painting like you know, Eloise, and she's still, and like Marianne's kind of going into, you know, like the, in so many ways, like I'm reading you. It's like, you know, when you, you know, when you're nervous, you do this, you know, when you impatient, you do this, they're like that. So it's almost like, you know, Marianne has her numbers, like, hey, you, like, I've seen, like, I know people like you, like, you're kind of nothing new. But then it was flipped on her, but at least like, well, you know, when you're nervous, you do this, like, you don't blink when you do that. So it's like they're paying attention to each other more than they want to admit. And almost an argument back and forth. It seemed like it was an argument, but it was more of like admiration for each other. But they just didn't really know how to frame it at the time because they were grappling with these feelings that they have for one another. So at first it's like a defensive, but when you really read the scene, it's like they're letting each other know, like, hey, these are things I admire about you, even though I see it, you know.
But, right. Yeah. That was the final scene where they both realized that they had the hots for each other.
Right.
And this leads into them basically recognizing that they have fallen deeply for each other, and then begins the sexual relationship between the two of them, which I think this movie is rated R. I think it's only rated R because you see a lot of nudity and women kissing, but you don't actually see any sex scenes.
No sex scenes. Yeah, I mean, what you just see, I mean, you see, you know, toplessness, and that's pretty much right. It, right? There ain't really anything else.
Right. It may be because the abortion scene.
I mean, even that wasn't graphic, you know?
No. So Sophie, the maid, we find out that she has been knocked up, and as we've been saying, like, the overall theme of the movie is freedom, and she doesn't want to have a child because it will reduce the amount of freedom that she has in her life. So she goes to have an abortion after trying out some homemade remedies that don't seem to work.
Right.
And that scene, like, it's very, they don't show anything graphic.
Right.
They only show the woman, Sophie's face. But as I mentioned, every scene is sort of a painting. So it's a close-up of her face, and she's lying on a bed, and there's a baby right next to her. And so you have this juxtaposition of what she's going through and what she's losing.
Yeah.
It's very intimate, and
it's a visually powerful scene, you know. It's like, like you have a representation of life literally, like, right next to you, as, you know, one is extinguishing out of your body. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is like a profound, it's like I said, it's a powerful shot, like, just that close up of her, and then the baby just kind of playfully just kind of, like, you know, tapping her nose, and, you know, it's like, oh man, like, wow. Yeah, I mean, it's a very hot, it's a good shot, like you're saying, like, every, like, shot is composed, like, it's like a painting. Yeah, pretty profound.
Yeah. And so Marianne does finally finish the portrait, and everyone has to go on their ways. And then we jump forward a few years, far enough in the future that Eloise now has a child, and we didn't mention that all of this is sort of being told from Marianne's perspective, as a memory and not necessarily as it's happening in real life.
Right.
So Marianne is now teaching art students in the present, and she's telling her students about a portrait that she created, and the story behind it. And so that's how we hear the story of Eloise. And then we get back to the present, and Marianne's like, well, I saw her two more times. And once was someone else had done a portrait of her with her child. And the second time was she saw her at the opera. And I think the last scene was almost 3 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the song from the opera that Marianne had played for Eloise earlier in the movie. And it's just a close up of her face as she's enjoying the song and also sort of having a mini orgasm.
Because she's thinking about Marianne and and all the
In one of their like naked bed scenes, Eloise did ask Marianne to draw a picture of herself in a book so that she would always have something to remember her by. And when Marianne saw her portrait in the art gallery, Eloise was holding that book and had the page number open. So it was like, even though they were apart, she knew that she was always part of her heart, even in the present and the future. So,
yeah. And it was immortalized in the portrait.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was there. Definitely, a sweet moment.
So the director, Celine, actually wrote the part of, Eloise for the actress Adele Hanel. And I'm sure I'm saying her name wrong, but they were ex-lovers. And so she was able to really capture the role of Eloise because it was someone that she loved. She knew exactly how she wanted to portray her on screen because she was part of her life at one point.
Wow. Yeah, you definitely see. She definitely played her part pretty well.
I mean, the director, there's definitely still some love there because every single shot of Eloise is just the camera loves her. The director obviously loved her.
Yeah.
It's just so in your face. It's almost like as you're watching the film, also because there's no music, it feels that you are part of the relationship without being intrusive in it. Right. So
yeah it's like you're in the room with those two, it's like the silence between them, and you're feeling like the tension, the sexual tension also, with the silence, the silence says so much, especially, with these two characters. And shout out to, what's her name? Naomi Merlet? I see her because like the close up with her, which she had like these big dark eyes, and like she had those thick eyebrows. I said, she should be in like a Star Trek movie because you put like pointy. She could be a awesome Vulcan. What should be all that? Like you give her like those Vulcan ears and like those big dark eyes. I was like, oh man, she should be in a sci-fi movie.
I see that. Yes, I agree.
Exactly. Yeah, and like how she kind of was giving those just those stares. I was like, yeah, that was like Vulcan stares. But she was great. She was great. Yeah, both of them were great. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, they played off each other really well. They really sold the, the tension, the longing, the relationship, the tragedy, the sadness. I mean, yeah, everything. They pulled it off nicely.
Yeah, I have no idea why this was not nominated for any Academy Awards. It did win the Cannes Best Screenplay last year.
Okay.
But I mean, the cinematography is just—it's absolutely beautiful.
Right. Yeah, agreed.
and you can watch it on Hulu and Amazon right now, if you're so interested. So you don't have to go out and you have to rent it on Amazon, but it's free on Hulu if you have Hulu.
Exactly.
It is all in French, so
yeah.
if you have a high school student learning French, it's an opportunity for them to practice their French lessons.
Oui. All right. So the quarantine rating system goes as follows. Ass on a couch, that means, you know, it's a good movie. It's a good investment of 2 hours or so, of however long the movie is. You know, you enjoy it. You'll walk away like, you know what? I'm glad I seen that movie. Putting your shoes on, contemplating going outside. It was meh. You know, wasn't the worst, wasn't great. You know, middle road. And going outside, that means that this movie is so bad, I would go out, risk police brutality and corona before I sit down and watch this movie. So what's your verdict?
It is stay on the sofa. Pass on the sofa. Definitely worth watching. It is a beautiful movie. I do say this with a couple caveats, though. It is very quiet. It is very slow. It does take a lot of concentration. So you can't necessarily watch it if you have other things going on.
Right.
So it is a movie that you need to sit down and focus on. Also, if you're really tired, don't start watching it right before you go to bed.
Yeah, you would definitely.
Or do if you want to go to sleep. Because it is, there's not a whole lot of dialogue. It is an extremely quiet movie.
Agreed. Yeah, no, I give it well on the couch too. Like it's everything you're saying. I mean, the cinematography is beautiful. The two, like, you know, the leads were like amazing. Yeah, you know, the themes were very powerful. Because the story, like you said, was so quiet and subtle. Yeah, the things that the film was saying was just so specific and beautiful. You know, the whole spectrum of emotion and relationships, things like that, you can take away with this movie. And like you said, it's a foreign film. You know, yeah. If you don't like foreign films, this isn't a movie to jump into. If you're used to the pacing and the feel of a foreign film and completely accept that foreign films tonally is not an American film. So therefore you detach yourself from American storytelling or narrative, then you're really going to enjoy this movie.
So question for you. Did you watch this with Chrissy and did she fall asleep immediately?
No, she needs to watch it. Actually, I watched it when she wasn't in the apartment. But I mean, but then again, she love all the dry, slow BBC stuff. So it's gonna be right up her alley.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so we have two butts down for Portrait of a Lady on Fire. We definitely recommend it. It was a very beautiful piece of storytelling. And yeah, we think you like it and support all the women everywhere, foreign and domestic.
Yes, yeah, so that was our first movie in the LGBTQ month series. Later this week, we'll be jumping for something that's a little more modern and looking at some gay rights. So super excited to dive into that.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and thanks again for listening. We appreciate you tuning in to In-Flight Entertainment for your reviews, movie rants, and any little gems we may have to give you on your way to life. Until next time, which is Thursday, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wash your hands.
Yes. Peace.